Tonight we want to continue with our study about serving Christ in our older age. And through the course of this study, we have looked at several points. And the last couple of Sunday nights, we've been delving into some details and some of the examples that God has given to us of those who served Him faithfully, diligently, served Him well in their older years. And in many cases, we see some of the best work done by servants of the Lord in their later years of life. And we took time to delve into the example of Abraham and Sarah, and we did, that was two weeks ago, and then last week we looked at Joshua and Caleb. And so we've considered some of the great examples of the Bible in general, but also as it pertains to work they did in serving God as an example for us to consider and follow for those in older age. So tonight we want to look at David as one of the examples, another one of the examples God gives to us. Of course, David is an example for people to follow as a young person. I mean, we're first introduced to David when he was but a young man, and the life of David is a very unique one in Scripture, in that we have so much detail of his life and his service to God from his youth all the way through to the end of his days. And he did live a full lifespan. Back in the beginning of this study, we looked at what the Lord says in the 90th Psalm about the lifespan of man, really from the time of Moses, the inspired author of that particular psalm. And man's days on this earth, 70, or by reason of strength, 80 years, would be the lifespan going back to that time. So really for the last 3,000 years roughly, or half the time that man's been on the earth, his lifespan has been roughly between the ages of 70 and 80. And here we are in 2016, and that hasn't changed. So David is one that lived to be 70. He lived 70 years on this earth. So we see much in his life to learn from and to follow as an example, one of the greatest of all that we have in the Bible. But we also have some very good information about his service to God at the end of his life, when he was an old man. And in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, this is one of the passages that tells us, informs us, of David's lifespan on the earth. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. It says, David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. All right, so he was 30 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 40 years. So how old was he when he died? That's not a real tough math problem, but he was 70 when he died. So that was his lifespan on the earth. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, if we turn over there, and this is a book we want to spend a bit of time in here at the outset of our study tonight. But 1 Chronicles 29, verses 26 through 30, says, "Thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel, and the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his stead. Now the acts of David the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer, and in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer. With all his reign and his might, and the times that went over him, and over Israel, and over all the kingdoms of the countries." So that's the summary of David's life, but he again tells us that he lived 70 years on this earth, and he died in a good old age, it says, full of days. Well, he had a full lifespan. He did. And we do read about, and especially in these latter chapters in 1 Chronicles, from chapter 22 all the way to this 29th chapter of 1 Chronicles, we have a lot of information about works that David did that were at the very end of his life. In fact, if you look at First Chronicles 26 and verse 31, in the midst of this, it says, among the Hebronites was Jerijah the chief, even among the Hebronites according to the generations of his fathers. In the 40th year of the reign of David, they were sought for, and they were found among them mighty men of valor at Jazer of Gilead. And this is in the middle of a run of several chapters in which it's describing how David organized the kingdom in preparation for his son Solomon to reign after him. And this says it was in the 40th year of David's reign. How many years did he reign? 40 years. This is in the last year of David's life. So this material that we're reading at the end of 1 Chronicles, it's at the very end of David's days. It's describing for several chapters all this work that he was doing, preparing the materials for the temple, which he'd been doing from the time he became king over all Israel. But he was continuing to do that, continuing to organize the workers and everybody that Solomon would be able to use to build the temple, and also to conduct the rest of the affairs that he would have to do as the king over God's people. But David prepared all of that, and it describes the details of it for these last eight chapters in 1 Chronicles. But this is what David was doing, and showing how busy he was, even as an old man in the last days of his life. So let's just look at a few examples from those chapters here towards the end of 1 Chronicles. Well, chapter 22, let's read the first five verses there that begins this section of the book. 1 Chronicles 22, 1-5 says, "Then David said, 'This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel.' And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails for the doors of the gates, and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight. Also cedar trees in abundance, for the Zidonians and they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. And David said, 'Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it.' So David prepared abundantly before his death." So there's a statement about what David was doing in the time of life that he was doing this. He was still serving with all of his might, serving God, and he was making preparations for Solomon to reign after him. And David didn't stop until he drew his last breath. So he continued with his diligent service to God. He never retired from that, nor should we. 1 Chronicles chapter 23, let's read verses 1 through 6. "So when David was old and full of days, he made Solomon his son king over Israel. And he gathered together all the princes of Israel with the priests and the Levites. Now the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years old and upward, and their number by their polls, man by man, was 38,000, of which 24,000 were to set forward the work of the house of the Lord, and 6,000 were officers and judges. Moreover, 4,000 were porters, and 4,000 praised the Lord with the instruments which I made," said David, "to praise therewith. And David divided them into courses among the sons of Levi, namely Gershon, Kohath, and Merari." And then the rest of chapter 23 gives the details of that organization that David made for these ones that would serve in that particular capacity to do that work. All right, chapter 28, if we skip over there. And certainly we recommend that you read all those chapters. They're there for a reason, but one of the reasons that we can discern is that God is showing how busy that man was and how much he was serving God and how much work he was still doing with the strength that God gave him right to the end of his life. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, we start in verse 1 here. It says, "And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over the thousands, and captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and of his sons, with the officers and with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, 'Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said to me, Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. And he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou art thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch, and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, and of all the chambers round about of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. And we'll just stop there. But those 12 verses encapsulate a lot. I mean, David was giving Solomon instruction about the kind of man he was to be spiritually, the most important thing. Teaching Solomon, as he had done all of his days up to that point, reminding him of his need to seek God and keep his commandments all of his life. And then he also gave him that task of completing the temple. He prepared everything, all the materials, all the workers. He organized all of that. That's in all these chapters. And then he gave him the pattern. So how much did Solomon have to do as far as the building of the temple? I mean, it was all set up, everything but the actual building. So he could take it from there, and with all that David had prepared for him in organizing it, and carry it out, which is what he did, and why it was really completed rather rapidly after Solomon became king over Israel. But that was a reflection of the work that David was doing and preparing ahead of time. But you can see the motivation that David had for all of that. It was all for the Lord. The temple, that was for God, and that was to serve God and for the good of the entire nation of Israel. So they would once again have a place where they could come, where the Ark of the Covenant would be, where they could bring their sacrifices, where they could observe the feast days and all the commandments that the Lord had given them, which they had been unable to do going back all the way to the days of Eli, the high priest, when the Ark of the Covenant had been taken by the Philistines, and it has not been in a permanent location ever since. So this has been a problem in Israel spiritually for many, many years. So David was seeking to fix that problem. So his motivation for the building of the temple, all of this was for God and for Israel to serve God as they should, and for his son Solomon to do that. And David gave himself diligently for that work. That he carries right on into that last chapter. And if we look at chapter 29, just a few verses of it, as it starts in verse 1 there. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone hath God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, and iron of things for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones, and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. And he gives some details of that. And then he is beseeching the people also to give willingly. And it says in verse 9, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. But this was the culmination of David's work in preparing for the building of the temple. And as he says there, he had prepared with all of his might. And this is right up to the last year of his life now as he's continuing this and encouraging his son and all Israel to serve God and to do so willingly and diligently. So this is the fitting end to David's life as we are first introduced to him as a diligent and faithful servant of the Lord when he was anointed king in 1 Samuel 16 and played the harp for Saul and then killed Goliath in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. And then we get to these chapters in 1 Chronicles that describe all that he was doing in the last year of his life, serving God. And what an example David is. And we can see the way we should be. If God gives us however many days he gives us on this earth, until he removes us from this earth, we need to be serving him and doing it with all of our might like David did. In 1 Kings chapter 1, lest we think, well, even though David was 70, he didn't have any physical ailments or problems to bother him like a lot of other people might in their older age. That wasn't the case. 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, "Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. Wherefore a servant said unto him, Let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat." So was David in that last year of his life or up to those last days, was he without any physical problems or weakness? No, he. We can read about that. He was constantly cold, and I mean we could go into some surmisings on some possible medical issues he could have that would contribute to that. But nonetheless, we can see he was well stricken in years. He was an older man. Physically, he had gotten weak. We can look at other passages where he was no longer able to fight in battles. His mind, though, was still there, and his will to do the Lord's will was still there, and he was using all that he had right to the end. And that's the point. Of course, he died in chapter 2 of 1 Kings. That's where his death is recorded. And chapter 2, those first 9 verses, contain instructions, specific instructions, that David gave to his son Solomon when Solomon became king, for him to follow, for things for him to do with certain people in the kingdom, namely Joab and also Shimei and the sons of Barzillai. Those were among those that David gave very specific instructions to Solomon. That's recorded in 1 Kings 2, 1 through 9. And then it says in verses 10 and 11, "So David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 30 and 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem." So there is the conclusion of David's life. But we can see the great example that he was and remains in as a servant of God. But also, when we look at his service to God when he was an older man and physically not strong like he was in his youth. Let's look at another man that was not actually a king of Israel. He was buried with the kings. He never was actually a king. He was not a descendant of David. In fact, he was a Levite, not just a Levite. He was a descendant of Aaron and served as the high priest of Israel. And this is a man named Jehoiada. And we read about Jehoiada in 2 Kings 11 and 2 Chronicles 22 through 24. But let's go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 22 for a moment to learn a bit more about Jehoiada. And we can see how Jehoiada served God and what he was doing in a very advanced age. And the impact that had on the nation of Israel, the good that he did and the work that he did for the Lord as an old man. 2 Chronicles chapter 22. Starting here in verse 10, it says, "But when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeath, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jehoshabeath, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she slew him not. And he was with them, hid in the house of God 6 years, and Athaliah reigned over the land. So here's this woman hiding her nephew from the boy's grandmother, who wants him dead so she can be queen. What kind of woman would do that? What kind of woman would be willing to kill all of her own grandchildren so that she could be queen? And that was Athaliah. Well, consider who she was. I mean, she was the product of Ahab and Jezebel. So considering that, maybe we wouldn't be so surprised. But still, that level of wickedness, there are few that could ever reach that. But here was the sister of the king who was dead that now hid her nephew so that he wouldn't be killed by his grandmother. And so it so happens that she's the wife of the high priest. So the sister of the previous king is now hiding the one that would be the heir to the throne from his grandmother, and hiding with the high priest, and who is Jehoiada, her husband. So that's a little bit of the background there. Jehu was the one that God, the son of Nimshi, was the one that God had chosen to execute vengeance on the house of Ahab. And he killed Ahab's son, King Jehoram. But at the same time, Ahaziah was also visiting Jehoram, and Ahaziah was the king of Judah, and he killed him too. And so he killed both the kings of Israel, the king of Israel and the king of Judah at the same time. And that's what was the background of what happens here with Joash. And so Jehoiada was the one that protected this young boy for the first several years of his life. And in his seventh year, as we start in chapter 23, in the seventh year, Jehoiada strengthened himself and took the captains of hundreds, Azariah the son of Jehoram, and Ishmael the son of Jehohanan, and Azariah the son of Obed, and Maaseiah the son of Adaiah, and Elishaphat the son of Zichri, into covenant with him. And they went about in Judah and gathered the Levites out of all the cities of Judah and the chief of the fathers of Israel. And they came to Jerusalem, and all the congregation made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And he said unto them, Behold, the king's son shall reign, as the Lord hath said of the sons of David. This is the thing that ye shall do. A third part of you entering on the Sabbath of the priests and of the Levites shall be porters of the doors, and a third part shall be at the king's house, and a third part at the gate of the foundation. And all the people shall be in the courts of the house of the Lord. But let none come into the house of the Lord save the priest and they that minister of the Levites. They shall go in, for they are holy. But all the people shall keep the watch of the Lord. And the Levites shall compass the king round about, every man with his weapons in his hand. And whosoever else cometh into the house, he shall be put to death. But be ye with the king when he cometh in and when he goeth out. So the Levites and all Judah did according to all things that Jehoiada the priest had commanded, and took every man his men that were to come in on the Sabbath with them that were to go out on the Sabbath, for Jehoiada the priest dismissed not the courses. Moreover, Jehoiada the priest delivered to the captains of hundreds spears and bucklers and shields that had been King David's, which were in the house of God. And he said, all the people, every man having his weapon in his hand, from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple, along by the altar and the temple, by the king round about. Then they brought out the king's son, and put upon him the crown, and gave him the testimony, and made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him, and said, God save the king. Now when Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the people into the house of the Lord. And she looked, and behold, the king stood at his pillar at the entering in, and the princes and the trumpets by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and sounded with trumpets. Also the singers with instruments of music, and such as taught to sing praise. Then Athaliah rent her clothes and said, Treason, treason! Then Jehoiada the priest brought out the captains of hundreds that were set over the host, and said unto them, Have her forth of the ranges, and whoso followeth her, let him be slain with the sword. For the priest said, Slay her not in the house of the Lord. So they laid hands on her, and when she was come to the entering of the horse gate by the king's house, they slew her there. And Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people and between the king that they should be the Lord's people. Then all the people went to the house of Baal and break it down and break his altars and his images in pieces and slew Mattan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. Also Jehoiada appointed the offices of the house of the Lord by the hand of the priests, the Levites, whom David had distributed in the house of the Lord to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and with singing, as it was ordained by David. And he set the porters at the gates of the house of the Lord, that none which was unclean in anything should enter in. And he took the captains of hundreds and the nobles and the governors of the people and all the people of the land and brought down the king from the house of the Lord. And they came through the high gate into the king's house and set the king upon the throne of the kingdom. So here is the work that Jehoiada started to do, first of all in protecting Joash and then making sure that he became king because he was the rightful heir to the throne. But again, we notice all of his motive. What was he seeking for the kingdom of Judah and for all the people? That they would serve the Lord. And he made that covenant between himself and all the people and the king that they should be the Lord's people. That's what drove Jehoiada, and that's what he was doing. Well, we read further about him in 2 Kings chapter 11, if we can turn over there. 2 Kings chapter 11. I know we're reading a good bit of detail on this, but that is the point here of our study, to see how the Lord used this man in his work, even as an older man. So in 2 Kings chapter 11, he tells us about Jehoiada in verse 17. And Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people that they should be the Lord's people, between the king also and the people. And then it tells in the rest of these following verses what we read there in 2 Chronicles 22 with the destruction of the house of Baal and Joash reigning. And it says in verse 21 of 2 Kings 11, 7 years old was Jehoash when he began to reign. All right. Then in chapter 12, 2 Kings chapter 12, it says, in the 7th year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign, and 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zebiah Beersheba. And Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. All right, now that tells again about Jehoiada's work. He continued to instruct the king until the day of his death, for the rest of his life. And this was in his latter years of a very long life that he lived, because he tells us about that in 2 Chronicles 24. But he remained the instructor of Joash right up to the end. And as long as he was there, what did Joash do? Joash walked right in the sight of the Lord. He obeyed God's commandments. Now, sadly, we read that as soon as Jehoiada died, Joash went off the right path and forsook the Lord. Sad to see that, but that certainly wasn't Jehoiada's fault. He did everything he could to have that that from the time this he was a boy, well, even as an infant, brought him up and taught him the ways of the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 24, if we can go there now look at verses 15 and 16. 2 Chronicles 24, 15 and 16. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. All right, so then right after that it tells how Joash departed from the Lord then after Jehoiada died. But Jehoiada lived to be 130 years old. So what does that tell us about how old would he have been? I mean, because we read Joash reigned for 40 years. So how old was Jehoiada when he brought up Joash and instructed him and did all that work from the time he made him king? He was already very old. How old do you call that when you get up to be 130? I mean, he was given a very long life on this earth, especially for the time that he lived in. Very rare for anybody to reach an age like that by this time. But God gave him those days, But we can see in his very advanced age, he was still doing the Lord's work and instructing Joash and doing what was right for all of the kingdom of Judah so that they would be the Lord's people. And he didn't stop until he drew his last breath. So he was much like David in that. Jehoiada is one of the great examples of the Bible that probably does not get studied as much as he should, but that we can read all the good that that man did. It's very sad what Joash and how he forsook that, the opportunity that he was given, how well God used Jehoiada with him, but then he departed from the Lord anyway. But again, that was in spite of Jehoiada, not because of him. Jehoiada did everything he could for the sake of the king and all the people, and that's why he was buried with the kings, honored like that, like he was one of the kings himself. So that was Jehoiada, another excellent example that we have of a servant of the Lord in his old age. Another one that we can have a look at just very briefly in our waning minutes tonight, but Barzillai. It's a man that lived in David's time. We don't have a lot of verses, so that's why we can squeeze this one in, but it's still a very good example to look at, this man Barzillai. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 17. This time when David was on the run from his own son Absalom, who was trying to usurp David's authority as king and become king himself, willing even to have his own father put to death. Well, we just read about a woman that was willing to have her grandchildren killed so she could be queen. Well, here was a man that was willing to kill his own father so he could be king. So there are plenty of wicked people that we read about in the Bible learning what not to do, what not to be like. But Barzillai was one that we learn as a good example that we learn from. So in 2 Samuel 17, David's on the run from his own son Absalom. And we read here verses 27 to 29. It says, "It came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobi, the son of Nahash of Rabbah of the children of Ammon, and Machir, the son of Amiel of Lodabar, and Barzillai the Gileadite of Rogalim brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness." So David was on the run with his men, and they were a minority of men. Absalom, with the rest of the army of Israel, was in pursuit. And he comes over Jordan, and here is Barzillai with some others that very generously gave provision to David at a time for him and for his men, at a time when they were very weary and physically weak. And so he helped David, and David never forgot this. Two chapters later in 2 Samuel 19, in verse 31, this is after Absalom fell in battle. And so David's men prevailed. And so now David's on his way back. So as he was fleeing from his city in chapter 17, now he's going to return to it here in chapter 19. And in verse 31, it says, "And Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogalim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan." So here's this man, as we're going to see, he's an old man, but he's over there wanting to personally escort David back across the river in triumph as he's going to return back to his city on his throne. Verse 32 says, "Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king?" Now, just with his words there, he's definitely speaking about some issues that he had being at his age, at 80 years old at this point. And so he was politely declining David's offer to go with him and to live out the rest of his days sitting there with David at his own table. That was a great honor David was giving to him in that offer. But he declined that. He says in verse 36, "Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense at me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee." And the king answered, "Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee." And so that, and all the people went over Jordan in verse 39. And when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned unto his own place. Now later, David, when in 1 Kings 2, at that time he was giving instruction to Solomon, where we were mentioning a little while ago, one of the things he said to Solomon there in verse 7 of 1 Kings 2 was for Solomon to show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite. And he says, "And let them be of those that eat at thy table, for so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother." So David never forgot that, and he didn't want Solomon to either. He wanted to extend that good that he had done to Barzillai's servant when Barzillai wouldn't go with him back to Jerusalem. But he wanted to extend that to his sons on a permanent basis in his show of gratitude for what he had done. But Barzillai did that and was helping David at a time David was in desperate need. But we can see that he was doing that when he was an 80-year-old man. I mean, he didn't use his age as an excuse not to do what was good. And he was serving the Lord right to the end of his life. We don't know how many more years he lived. But we feel confident, especially based on David's instructions to Solomon, that Barzillai didn't depart from that righteous course that he was on there that we read about in 2 Samuel. But some examples there for us to consider that we've gone over tonight. A few more to look at, and then but we'll have to save that for next time, Lord willing. And then we want to look at some other particular things to consider. Just about every stage in life is going to bring its particular challenges, temptations, opportunities, and things like that. And that's true of the later years in life. And it would be good to consider some of those particular specific aspects that that are there for older servants of the Lord to be mindful of and to avoid the temptations and to take advantage of the opportunities that the Lord gives at that time of life. So anyway, we will try to continue, Lord willing, next Sunday night with this series. But for tonight, we want to take this opportunity now to extend the Lord's invitation to anyone that is here that needs to respond to that invitation. If you have not yet become a child of God, a Christian, then this is an opportunity for you to obey the gospel of Christ, to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ before men as you do so. And we're encouraging you to do that now if that is your need. If you are a member of the Lord's body and if you need the prayers of the church or if you need to repent of sin, this is an opportunity for you also to come forward. Anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, please won't you do so right now while we stand together and sing.